Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Holy One, for you are our sustenance and joy. Amen. On Wednesday, with our Ash Wednesday observance, we began the Christian season of Lent. This year I learned that Lent, that preparation journey toward Easter's resurrection celebration, it likely began because leaders of the early Christian movement felt that the followers weren't taking resurrection seriously. If our Christian faith is about resurrection, they said, the journey through life into death and then resurrection beyond, then is not the most significant resurrection of them all something we should be preparing for, at least as much as we prepare for Jesus' birth? So, Lent, the 40 days plus Sundays that lead up to the resurrection celebration that we call Easter. It's a time for us to focus on our relationship with God, to take stock of our living and of our faith, to look at our priorities, to recognize where we are finding hope and where our faith brings us joy. From its start on Ash Wednesday until its conclusion on Easter Sunday, Christians have traditionally focused on Lent as a time for fasting or giving something up. In this way, Lent has become a somber experience for many, and yet the ashes of Ash Wednesday are not meant to set the tone for the next 40 days. Reminded of our mortality and our humanity in a service of ashes, we are then invited to look closely at the counting of our days, for we do have only a finite number of them. So are you living the life you wish to live? Where are you recognizing God at work in the world? And what are you doing to meet God there? How is God accompanying you in sorrow? And where is God celebrating with you in joy? All these and more are questions that invite us into reflection and hope during Lent. So this year during Lent, our congregation is going to be using the images of cultivating and letting go to guide our time. Growth in our Christian life is not simply about giving up or denying ourselves some pious penitence. That's not the example of the walk of faith that Jesus lived for us. God invites us to a life of wholeness, a life of both sorrows and joys, that we live in deep relationship with God and in deepening relationship with one another. So the questions we will be pondering ask us, what do you desire to cultivate in your life? And then, What is holding you back from that? What must you let go of as part of cultivating new growth? So today's scripture text invites us deep into the wilderness with Jesus. Jesus has been baptized by John. You may remember the scene. There, with many surrounding him, Jesus is baptized and God's voice proclaims, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then, we are told, Jesus, filled with God's Spirit, enters the wilderness for 40 days. He goes into the wilderness for a time of reflection and fasting, far away from the comforts and compromises of human civilization. Jesus goes seeking to find his center in God so that he might turn our world right side up. Now, we don't know if this time was a literal 40 days or whether that was Luke's code for a long time. Like when you hear yourself saying, "If I've told you once, I've told you." Yeah. For Luke's first audience, though, we know that 40 days would evoke memories of other times spent in the wilderness. Moses and the Exodus with the people of Israel. Hagar and Jacob and Elijah. The wilderness may be a place of solitude, but it is also a place of mythic proportions, imprinted by all who have inhabited it before. It breathes with the memories of those who found themselves there by accident and those who came by intent, who fled there for safety or who entered in search of what they could not find anywhere else. So here we are with Jesus in the wilderness, and we know he was there for longer than a simple camping trip, and he took no provisions. He goes to fast and pray, and near the end, Jesus is hungry. The word is actually more like famished, so hungry that you can feel it in that cave behind your ribs and the emptiness within your body. Jesus is hungry and at his most vulnerable, and it is this moment that the devil shows up, and the devil offers him food and power and wealth. Food, power, and wealth. In moderation and in the right forms, these things might be blessings from God, but in excess and in the wrong forms, they distract us and separate us, pulling us away from God. Now, whatever it is that you believe about the devil or don't believe about the devil, much has been made of the devil in this story. In order to make sense of this gospel story, over the years you may have been painted a picture of the personification of pure evil, perhaps complete with pitchfork and horns and maybe even a tail. Yet that's not what Luke would have imagined. Imagine instead a seductive voice, an adversary who almost comes across as a friend, offering things that sound perfectly reasonable and good, at least at first. Perhaps they even came from within Jesus's yearnings, plausible, attractive, and making a lot of sense, even backed by scripture. I mean, after all, why shouldn't Jesus satisfy his hunger with a little bread? And wouldn't it be great if Jesus, instead of those hated Romans, ruled the world? How much better he would do. And how impressive would it be if Jesus just flung himself off the temple roof and 1,000 angels came swooping in to rescue him? Can't you just see the trailer for the movie now? Yet what the devil was really offering was more than food, power, and wealth. The greater temptation, the larger issue, was who to trust. Did Jesus truly desire to trust God to provide, to worship only God and live into a way of life under God's rule of justice and mercy and peace? These were the same temptations faced by the people of Israel in the desert. The same temptations you and I face every day. Like Jesus, God has named and claimed us as God's own. Before we do anything wrong and before we do anything right, we are God's. You are God's. Just like the voice of God naming Jesus as God's beloved before he enters the wilderness and faces temptation, God has named you beloved. And yet almost immediately, our own wilderness surrounds us. Other things try to tell us who we are and to whom we belong. Consumerism, the weight loss industry, and the cosmetic business, the media that tells us who's in and who's out, what you should look like. Maybe our colleagues or kids at school. They all try to tell us who we are, but only God can do that. Everything else is temptation. And when we no longer hear God's voice naming us beloved, telling us we are worthy beyond measure, we risk succumbing to the temptation to prove our worth. To prove you are effective, to prove you are beloved, to try authority on for size and on top of it glory. For those are the signs the world uses to recognize our worth, authority and glory, affirmation and acclaim. Yet what is it that really proves our value, our effectiveness and belovedness, but the voice of God? I think the final temptation may be the one we find most daunting, the need to trust God. You see, our need for certainty often drowns out our ability to trust in our faith. In our humanity, we love closure and resolution and clarity. We love things to be tied up into neat packages. And yet, how does that describe faith? Anne Lamott tells us the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. The opposite of faith is certainty. Faith is a place of mystery where we find the courage to believe in what we cannot see and the strength to let go of our fear of what is uncertain. And it's letting go of what is uncertain, letting go of our perception of control. It's that that grabs us every time. Letting go of certainty hooks us with anxiety and fear and vulnerability all at once. So we have to be intentional and deliberate about the choice to let go. And then we take a step, whether it's through prayer or some other action, we take a step. Trusting in God happens when we recognize our anxiety of what is uncertain. We recognize our anxiety of what we see we cannot control. And then we choose to let go of certainty by taking that next step. So Jesus invites us to live as God's beloved, to witness and follow God's kingdom of justice and mercy, and to walk in the mystery of uncertainty, trusting in God. What is it that you desire to reflect on this Lent or even this week of Lent? What would you like to cultivate, to grow? And what needs to be let go of? Remember, no matter how the wilderness might feel, no matter what you might encounter, the wilderness is not God forsaken, nor does it belong to the devil. It too is God's home. The Holy Spirit is there within us and beside us, no matter what wilderness we find ourselves in. And if we cannot feel that Spirit inside us or at our side, perhaps we can at least imagine Jesus there, not too far away, with enough in him to sustain us, enough to make us brave. Amen.